Well, hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this finds you well. This is the Investor Coach, Paul Nichols, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. You know that It's Your Money was designed to do just that, and that's what we've been doing, for going on about 5 years now. Had a syndicated radio show, and we gave that up, I don't know, I guess it's been 2 years ago, for family reasons. Didn't like doing a show on Saturday, and now we do the podcast on a regular basis. I hope you appreciate the effort we put in. We certainly appreciate the fact that you're listening, and thank you very much for the feedback that we get from our website, which is the way most people communicate with us, through financialabundanceinc.com, or just type in the Investor Coach or Paul Nichols, and we'll pop up there. But anyway, this session today, I'm going to focus on coaching a little bit. As you've probably noticed, we're endeavoring to break the show down into a few segments every week, a market update, a little bit of a rant, and then a coaching segment. And this is the coaching segment for this week. If you've noticed, recently, I've been communicating about kind of developing a plan, developing the last 5 or 6 weeks of shows, 5 or 6 podcasts, I should say, in the coaching arena. You know, we talked about the 30-day challenge and needs versus wants. We talked about different types of money, lifestyle accumulation, wealth transfers. We talked about making savings a bill because people pay their bills. Well, let's assume that we've got a budget in line. Let's assume that we've got our end game in mind. We know what our needs are versus our wants. We know that retirement planning is an income level, not an age level. And when we can get to that income level, we can retire. But we need to know what that is. We'd also like to know how much we'd like to live on. We then need to figure out there's different types of money, and we need to start focusing a little bit on how our money's being spent and our needs and wants money. And all this is done not to penalize you and to put more work and more responsibility on one, but the truth shall set us free. Thou shalt not fake thyself out. That is the 11th commandment according to Paul. I live my life that way. Thou shalt not fake thyself out. And if you do, shame on you. Now, we all have to rationalize things at certain point. You know what I mean? A rational lie. Sometimes, you know, hey, look, the vast majority of Americans don't necessarily like what they do, but we all have to tell ourselves we like what we do. Otherwise, how could we get up and go do it every day? I think it's a rare individual that you find that really loves what they do. I think people love parts of what they do. But as a whole, it's tough to find an individual that really loves what they do. But we all have to rationalize. Now, that's a positive way of rationalizing, in my opinion. A negative way of rationalizing would be faking yourself out by not realizing how much money you're spending versus how much you're bringing in, what the real idea behind retirement. I'm not going to go on a rant. I was about ready to go on a rant. Let me save that for later. But as it relates to retirement planning, once we figure out what our budget is, once we figure out what our needs and wants are, once we figure out if we have a surplus, and then we take that surplus of income and earmark that to savings or retirement or however you want to classify it, once we earmark that, I encourage people to treat it as a bill. We talked about that last time. That might be setting up a automatic deposit or a withdrawal coming from your savings account into some kind of retirement account, whatever it is for you, okay? But I want to take it a step further today by adding this idea of, should I have an IRA or should I have a Roth IRA? Should I have a individual IRA or should I have a Roth IRA? And let me talk about these because I liken it to the farmer and the concept of harvesting versus the seed. And so I'm going to expand on that, but seed versus the harvest. Well, let's talk. Let's say that we get to the point where you've looked at your budget, you figured out what your 30-day challenge, you know what your needs and wants are, you know what number you're trying to aspire to, where you can buy retirement, if you will, or whatever your thing is. Again, retirement's different for everyone. It doesn't mean not working. Some people work in retirement because that's what they enjoy to do. But when you come to the conclusion that I've decided this is how much money I want to save, how do I go about saving it? What do I do? Where do I put it? Well, I'm not going to get into where you put it so much as I want to talk about the different classifications of the type of places that you can put it. as it relates to retirement planning. So let's talk about the IRA. What does that stand for? Individual retirement account. It's not a joint account. It's an individual retirement account. Now, you can have a traditional IRA or you can have a Roth IRA. I don't want to get into all the rules. They're very similar as it relates to how much you can put in. You need to have earned income. You can put so much in for a spouse if they're not working, as long as you earn it. At 59 and a half, you can start pulling money out without a penalty. Otherwise, there would be a 10% penalty. In a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA, the major distinctions, the rules are very similar. I'm not going to get into all that, but the major distinction is that, one, you pay taxes on now and have continued tax-free accumulation and tax-free accessibility in a Roth, meaning you go ahead and bite the bullet, pay the tax, and the rest of the time that counts in that account's in place, that money's going to grow tax-free, accumulate tax-free. It will pass on to the heirs tax-free, and it will be accessible tax-free, provided you meet age requirements and so on. So, with the traditional IRA, it's just the opposite of that. What you're doing is just saying, look, I'm going to go ahead and not pay tax on this. I promise to pay it later because I feel that it makes more sense for me to defer the taxes on this account. I'd rather take a deduction now, get a little bit of a write-off, and then go ahead and deal with the taxes later. Well, here's a challenge with that. The first thing we have to realize is a couple concepts, and then we can talk about what's better for you. Is it better for you to do a Roth, or is it better for you to do a traditional? Well, that all depends on where you're going to be down the road, okay? You know, the question really becomes when you talk about deferring taxes. There's pros and cons to deferring taxes, but the biggest challenge, ladies and gentlemen, in deferring taxes is ultimately, we don't know what the tax rate for the calculation is going to be. So until you're retired, pull the money out, and know what your tax liability is at that point, we really don't know what your tax calculation is because we don't know what your tax rate is, and we don't know what tax rates are going to be. So from a challenge of prudence, the only people that really it makes sense to defer taxes on are people that absolutely know definitively they're going to be in a lower tax bracket, or they're going to have a lower reported taxable income. This is down in retirement down the road. Well, here's the rub to that whole deal. The challenge is a lot of people automatically think they're going to be in a lower tax bracket when they retire, but they forget about a couple things, like they have no children at home, so they're not having deductions for that anymore. Generally, their house is paid off, so they don't have one of the few deductions that you're allowed to have, which is a mortgage interest deduction. And at that point, you're also not deferring any taxes or putting any money in retirement plans to lower your taxable income. And all this is coupled with the fact that at that point, most people are in a higher tax bracket income level than they've ever been in before. Now, I know some of you go, well, that's not going to happen to me. Well, I think a lot of people come to that conclusion. But when they look at the fact that they have no deductions to speak of anymore outside of maybe a few medical, at the same time, you know, they have income sources coming from Social Security, from potentially pensions, defined benefit plans, defined contribution plans, 401ks, IRAs. So now what happens is I can guarantee you when most people are going to take a biggest hit on their retirement account, and that's the day you start to pull the money out because 100% of it is subject to ordinary income tax. So it forces everything, all your other incomes up. So the question becomes, look, if you're going to ultimately get to the point where you have a surplus, what type of account do I put it in? Not do I put it in a stock, bond, that's a whole other conversation. What type of classification do I put it in? If I have the option to pay the tax on it and let it grow tax-free and accumulate tax-free and transfer tax-free, does that a better plan for me when I retire versus someone who would need the deduction now potentially? Okay, we all need the deduction now, but it makes more sense to take the deduction now and pay tax on a larger chunk later. Well, I will tell you, as a wealth strategist, the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm who manages assets, based on my experience in this industry, I will tell you it is rare to find someone, unless they're in a tremendously high bracket to start with, that is in a lower tax bracket after they retire because of the way the laws are set up. So this then becomes the bigger question and the point of the show today. Should I put my money in a traditional IRA or should I put my money in a Roth IRA if I'm going to put money away anyway? And I guess the answer to that question really depends on factors that we have no control over right now, and that is what the tax rates are going to be when you retire and what, as a result, what's the tax calculation going to be when you retire. See, most people don't realize when you fund an IRA or a 401k, that's a good thing to do. It's taking responsibility for your retirement. But what you're really doing is you are creating a permanent tax lien on your retirement account. So I guess the question I would have for you is just to think about this picture in your mind. If you were a farmer, we're in central Pennsylvania. I know all of you all over the world listening to this, but if you were a farmer in central PA, there's a lot of dairy farms, there's a lot of farms here, a lot of Amish, etc. If you were a farmer, would you rather pay tax on the seed that you're going to use in the spring and then have a tax-free harvest in the fall, or would you rather get a tax break on your seed in the spring and have a taxable harvest? So I guess, would you rather pay tax on the seed or the harvest? Now, logically, most people, when I ask that question, I have asked it of hundreds of thousands of people, most people would say, I'd rather pay tax on the seed and have a tax-free harvest. But that's the opposite of what most people do, and here's why. When they come to tax time, it kills them. It challenges them. It's tough, like me, to write a check for the taxes this year. And I realize that. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I do it every year. I would not fund an IRA, and it's very rare that I encourage people to fund a traditional IRA. Roth IRAs is one of the best things the government ever came up with. So some of this depends on where you're going to be later and the type of income that you're going to be taking. So let's not go into this blindly. Some of you need coaching. Some of you need help to kind of get this stuff in order. If this is confusing to you, there's lots of resources out there. There's videos on our website. There's information out there. If you'd like to learn more about this type of stuff, just go ahead and check us out. You can go to Ask the Coach and ask for more information. You can email me directly, paulin@financialabundanceinc.com. Or there's all kinds of information. Type in Roth or IRAs. But what you're not going to find is a lot of information out there as to why you shouldn't fund a traditional IRA and potentially a 401k Roth. But that requires further conversation as a qualifier. Right now, the question to you, ladies and gentlemen, is if you have a surplus, you're going to put that money away. It's best to earmark it for retirement. If you're going to earmark it for retirement, should you put it in a traditional IRA or should you put it in a Roth IRA? That becomes the first question for most, because funding beyond that funding beyond that requires more conversation. But right now, I just want to have you think about the seed versus the harvest. That's the point of today's coaching. By the way, I hope this is helping you. The idea is basically, if you got a surplus, how should you classify it as it relates to retirement planning? Now, what type of Roth and IRA you would put it in, that's another conversation. Right now, what classification should you start to put your money in? Should you fund a traditional IRA or should you look at a Roth IRA? Would you rather pay tax on the seed or the harvest? By the way, there's no right or wrong to this as a general question. It all depends on what's right or wrong for you individually. We at Financial Abundance and here as the host of It's Your Money believe you don't need to know everything about finances and asset management and wealth strategies, insurance planning and risk management. You just need to know the few right things. And that's why it's important to have a coach. So, with that being said, hope this finds you well. Hope you're having a super-duper day. Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, pulling back the curtain. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.